We have learned in these chapter 16, in the first half here of chapter 17, that you and I really need to live by the word. And Paul and Silas and Timothy have been showing us how to do that and what to rely on, what to bring into our lives to accomplish these things. He wants us to confront wrongdoing, not just in our own country that really seems to be going to pot in a handbasket. Yeah, pot's legal most places now. But it's just something that you and I need to get involved in, not in pot, but in the working to undo the wrongdoing that's going forward. We need to help those people that think that what's wrong is right to see them that what's wrong is wrong, and to love on them in the process of sharing those things, not be mean and get in their faces and things like that, but to come to them and to tell them we really care about what is taking place in our country, in your life in particular, because you're my friend, you're my family member, you're my whatever this person is. And we want to share with them the right things that we have been being shown in the Word of God all along here. We want to be involved in politics, we find. We saw Paul involved, but we want to be involved to the point to point out to those in leadership. I'm writing you a letter, not because I'm saying mean things to you. I'm writing this letter to you, and I'm writing a letter rather than an email, because you get lots of emails, but I'm writing a letter to you. I'm spending over an hour in this letter to share with you. I'm really disappointed in the way you were leading in this city. I'm really disappointed how you were leading in this state. I'm really disappointed how you went to Congress to represent me, and I want you to know you're not. You are representing other people that want wrong things to take place. And here are the things that I think that are wrong. And I pray, I sincerely do, that you will be part of that which will help end this problem in our country that is ruining us. You can be a part of the solution, sir. You can be a part of the solution, ma'am. I believe that this can take place. So, at any rate, we need to be involved in these things, as we saw Paul and Silas being involved in them, to take them to heart. We need to be involved in when we're traveling, to think about this. You know, many of us, when we go on vacation, vacation means even from church, doesn't it? I mean, be honest. It means a vacation from the Lord. We don't have our DPEs on vacation. We're on vacation, you know. I'm sorry, family. I'm not here to get in anyone's face, as I said earlier. I'm here to simply share with you. When we go on vacation, why don't we enjoy the Lord more than we did even when we were working and going to our home church? I want to encourage you. You know, we don't hide it. Kathy and I share with you. We go to this particular church on Maui every Sunday. On the fourth or fifth Sunday that we are there, people start to think we're part of the church. And, well, actually, we're getting ready to leave. We'll be back next year, and we will come for four or five Sundays and be a part of this church. I go to prayer meetings that that church holds and get in and be a part. I don't want to find myself moving away from the Lord. Many of us, when we go on vacation, we also take our offerings, don't we? And they sure are nice to spend on vacation, aren't they? No, family. When Kath and I go on vacation, we are not, you know, those really great and awesome superheroes of the faith. We're just following the Word of God, family. Just wanting to please him. I'd really like to get to heaven and be able to hear him say, you know, Ron, you had a really stinky start, but nonetheless, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I'm hoping I get to hear. I don't know that he's going to say that, But I'm working towards that. It's not a works righteousness relationship. I just want to be pleasing to him. So I leave our worship offering here. I don't take it on vacation. And like we often share with the people that are with us during this time of worship, when we bring them our offerings, we share with them, you know, as a newcomer, don't feel like you need to come up and participate. Our church has committed, not all of them, but our church is committed to taking care of our church family. They're the ones that are supposed to do it. So I can't go on vacation and leave our offering with another church. So I encourage you, if you're here this morning, you have a different church that you attend, take home your offering to your church. I'm sure your pastor and their financial group are going to be very, very appreciative that you did that. Very much so. So we find that Paul and Silas and the core value team, they went to synagogue. They found themselves there sharing the good news. They went to church, family. Let's go to church. When we're on vacation, let's find new brothers and sisters. Let's see what the Lord is doing in other places. And maybe we can help someone along that the church you attend might be a weak, weak church family not following after the scriptures. We learned last week we need to be examining the Word of God. We need to be studying it thoroughly. And daily, the Bereans were looking at the Word of God. Did I say daily? Family, daily. This is the word that we're supposed to be in our special moments with the Lord during the week and hear what he has to say to us. The Bereans need to make sure that what Paul and Silas were sharing with them was the truth about the Messiah. Did the Son of God really come? Did he really die on our cross for their sins? And they looked at the word and they found it was true. They were intellectually honest with the word of God. And then they found themselves acting it out. Very important. Not to simply know the word, but to know it and live it so that other people get blessed and our Heavenly Father is lifted up and honored. So, at any rate, hospitality was a big thing we saw in Philippi as well as in Thessalonica. And it's important that we be hospitable people. Well, you know, I've got kids and it's not easy to have people over. Well, just invite them over for a sweet time to watch your kids do whatever they do. I mean, we have some really charming, fun to watch kids. I love watching those kids come up and put in mom and dad's offering. Far as I know, maybe they're movie kids and they have their own offering. But they come up here and it takes a little bit longer for them to hit the slot. What a beautiful thing to watch children, maybe not exactly knowing what they're doing, but then again, maybe mom and dad made it clear, this is what we're doing by you putting mom and dad's check in that slot. So simple things that we have picked up from the study of the Word of God. Everybody may think that the Book of Acts is simply a travelogue of Paul and Silas, moving from here to there, sharing the good news, and that is true. But there's so much else here, but you have to really look at the scripture. You really have to take it apart. You have to see it grammatically and historically so as to understand what's really going on. So, page 12 of your notes, we're going to come back here and we're going to finish up this passage. We're looking at the action steps. There are times when I put action steps at the end of each set of verses. But this time I saved most of them till we got to this point. By the time Paul has arrived in Thessalonica with his missions core value team, you know, he's, if I can use the phrase, he's hit his stride. As an evangelist, he's hit his stride in being able to plant churches. Oh, how I miss not being able to plant churches. You know, the only reason we can't participate in planting churches on our own, being the mother church, is finances. And if we could all find it in our hearts that, you know, there are things we can cut out of our lives so that we can do something for the cause of Christ that is has great eternal value. But those four churches we did mother, what a joy to do that. In your worship guides today, you have a pamphlet that allows us to participate with over 500 other churches that are going to all be sending in funds to our home office so that these funds can be raised to send out church planters who have been raised up, they're ready to go, and they're already checked out the geographical area that they're going to go and begin to share the gospel. So I encourage you to be a part of that brochure and to help those that need our help to be able to get to the mission field right here in the United States and begin to see Americans coming to faith. I shared with you that over 3,000 churches closed last year. 3,000, 1,400 new churches opened, but that's still a net loss, and that's what's been going on for a few decades now. And we can't be like Ephesus. We can't be like Thessalonica. We can't be like these churches that Paul planted 2,000 years ago, because all those churches that he planted 2,000 years ago, they're gone. They're gone. They're gone. And if they've been replaced, it's by a wrong form of Christianity, if I can use that term, because it isn't Christian. And Islam has taken over the largest share of the territory where Paul, under the influence of God, the Holy Spirit, and that core value team, went and suffered and did great things. But those churches are all gone now. There's only remnants left. And that's what's happening in America, family. That's what's happening right here in America. You say, oh, we got these great big mega churches. That's right. We do. But if you divided them up, that's not going to replace the 3,000 we're losing last year, or however how many we're going to lose this year. There are fewer Christians in America, according to the data, that are in America today. Thousands less Christians. Something's going on, family. We need to start getting on with what the Lord wants to get going. So Paul, he's planting churches like crazy, and this is a great thing. If you look at your notes, Paul's experience of those first months in Greece illustrate at least three principles. Three principles anyone in ministry would do well to remember. Anyone. Now you say, well, I'm not in ministry. Well, why aren't you? You're a Christian, you're saying. Every Christian should be in ministry. He didn't save us not to be in ministry. He saved us for his ministry. So if you're not in ministry and this church seems reasonable to you, then I encourage you to find out one of our six core value teams and call the leaders, talk to them, see if this would be a good fit for you, because there's always the need for extra hands that go forward and do the Lord's work. So three principles we can see here from these first 15 verses. First, your fill in there is determination. Determination. Would you say that word with me? Determination. I need to be determined. But it says here, determination is at the heart of any great achievement. At the heart of any great achievement. There's nothing supernatural about Paul. There's nothing. He's a regular man. Regular. Just like the men in this church. He's no different. He's not some deity. He's just a Christian. Well, I shouldn't say just. That's a super wonderful place and position to have. But determination is at the heart of any great achievement. There's nothing supernatural about Paul or any of the other biblical characters, these people that we have come to meet along the way here in the book of Acts. They were people who knew their calling and pursued the divine purpose with determination. Get it? Good. Okay. Philippians 4:13. You'll recall this when we studied Philippi. Studied Philippians. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do all the things that he wants me to do. Do you think he wants me to be determined, to be part of a church family that is actually active and moving forward for the cause of Christ, has core value teams to break up all the things that are necessary, that need to be done for his cause, and become a part of one of those? I need to get out of the grandstands, sitting up there and watching everybody else down below. I need to come down and I need to talk to the coaches. How do I get in the game? How do I get to be a part of this? We need to be determined. This church is determined, if you're going to be a part of it. Amen. We need to be determined to share the goodness of the Lord Jesus with those people who haven't heard yet, those people who have heard, those people who are ornery towards us. That's okay. We need to be determined to continue to do what the Lord Jesus is calling us, because we can do all things through him who strengthens us. We have no excuse for not being involved in his call, and not being involved in going out there and talking to people about them, seeing them either choose him to be the Lord and Savior and not be on the path that they were on, hell, damnation. Now they're going to be on a path where they enjoy the Lord Jesus here, now, and one day they're going to be in heaven, and they'll probably say something to you about, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing the gospel with me. I wouldn't have been here if you hadn't talked to me. I'm so glad that you shared the good news of the Lord with me. Be determined to be used of the Lord Jesus Christ, like two people here. Be determined to share the gospel this coming week. Empty out this vase and vase. Vase, which is it? Vase, vase. Even you don't know. This piece of glass to this piece of glass. And be a part of what the Lord is wanting to accomplish. You know, the Lord has told us that we should be strong, not in ourselves, but in him. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. You see that in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Oddly enough, that became my son's favorite verse. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. It was the strength of the Lord that got him out of his addictions and into his real family, Christ. And he was able to go to heaven when he was killed that Sunday morning. We see here again this principle: let us be determined. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might, and he will assist you in your determination to be that person that Christ can use for his glory. Paul was beaten and jailed. Any of you, since we started this series, have been beaten and jailed for the faith? You want to tell us about beaten and jailed for anything else? Paul was beaten and jailed in Philippi. We've got it so good, family. I mean, there are odd situations, and they'll probably become more like that. I mean, there is a man right now. He's got about 8 kids, I think, and he is a pro-lifer. I don't understand that. What is pro-choice? What's the choice? I get to kill my baby? I don't understand pro-choice. We either have a choice to let the baby live, or we have the choice to kill it. That's no choice. That's no choice whatsoever. But we have Paul and Silas. They got beaten in Philippi. We see Paul, he was stoned nearly to death, possibly to death, and God raised him up when he was in the region of Galatia. But Paul tells us this. He, you know, people complain about it's just too hard to go share the good news with people. But Paul, he's talking to the Corinthian church family. Write this down, 2 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 23. I mean, he's talking to these messed up Corinthian Christians. And I'll just break in here in part of 23. And he says, I'm talking like a madman. You know, all these people really think they're really doing it well. These are, as I told the baptism class this morning, you know, I believe in professors in Christ and possessors in Christ. The professors may or may not be Christians, but there's a whole bunch of them that aren't, and they think they are. And they're going to be so surprised when that day comes that their body gives out and their spirit leaves, because they're going to show up and go, uh-oh, this isn't quite what I was thinking. It's because we're not doing what the Lord asks us to do. He said, look, I loved you so much. I took care of your sin. You have to confess and repent and receive me as your Lord and Savior. And then you become a disciple of mine. You come and die every morning. You come to me every morning and die, spiritually speaking. You come and die to self. You die to self. And you ask the Lord, what is it that I can do about you? Because our purpose in life is not about our career, what we want to do. Our purpose in life is to fulfill what He wants us to do. That's why He saved us, to do what He wants us to do, to be involved in. But we see here in 2 Corinthians 11, and he's speaking to, you know, probably a church like many in America today, and he talks about, with far greater labors. I worked harder than any of you Corinthians. I worked harder than any of you. I suspect he worked much harder than me. I worked harder than any of you. Far greater labors. Have you ever thought about your activity for Jesus as being a labor? Far greater labors. Far more imprisonments. Plural. Plural. Just because he gave the innocence of how to save a person from going to hell. Far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. You know, it's only this time through this passage that it hit me. I've read through it, I don't know, dozens of times, but this word often finally hit me. And often near death. Because he loves Christ and he loves people, and he wants to see people not go to hell. And often he was near death for the sake of others. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 5 times. 5 times. That's 200 lashes, family, with the cat and nine tail. 200 minus 5. 195. 10 of them can kill you. And he went through it 195 times. That's why I've shared with you from extra biblical literature, we are told, as they describe the Apostle Paul, he was bald, hick-nosed, and he was bow-legged. And he had scars from the top of his bald head to the bottoms of his naked feet. Family, family, for us to share the gospel, this should be no biggie. Just should be. I mean, it just shouldn't be a big thing for us. 3 times I was beaten with rods. We saw the first time that we became aware of in Philippi. He and Silas were beaten with rods. Those rods, they cause contusions and bruises, and they often fracture bones. And this happened to him 3 times. Once I was stoned. Well, we read about that. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night in the day. A night in the day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people. Danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. In toil and in hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, Paul says there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. You think it's easy for church leadership to deal with churches? There's probably going to be someone who's going to severely want to castigate me for even saying what I've said thus far. And I've only quoted a great source, the Holy Spirit telling us what Paul said. So Paul's beaten, jailed in Philippi. He was mobbed and forced out of Thessalonica. He steps, we're dogged by these Jewish people in Thessalonica to Berea, where he was hurried out of town to the coast to, we don't know exactly how he went 195 miles to Athens, but how he got there. But he stayed strong during the midst of this. He was determined, family. He was horribly treated. But he was determined. He knew I could be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. I mean, he taught the Ephesians that. He was well aware of these wonderful things that the Lord Jesus would do for him. Any promise the Lord gave would be true. So, Job, there's another guy. Job 42 and verse 2. He's long before Paul. But you see, this is what happens to people who are truly close to God, our Father. Truly love on him. He said, I know that you can do all things. He's talking to his Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father. I know you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. No purpose can be stopped that's yours, that you want to see put into action. We can enter into that ourselves, family, because we can do all things through him who strengthens us. Let us not shirk away. Let us ask him, how can I be a vessel of honor and used by you to do great and wonderful things for your glory, Father? Looking back in your notes, Paul saw each hardship as a small piece, a small price to pay for the impact he would make in each city. They kept running off the apostle, but he kept leaving churches in his wake, whole communities of reproducing Christians, reproducing Christians. Are you a reproducing Christian? How long have you been a professing Christian? How many times have you shared the gospel of our Lord and needed to disciple the person you shared the gospel with? I have the pleasure of discipling two men. And I've been discipling men from the moment before I entered the ministry here as your shepherd. It is such a joy to shepherd men, to watch younger men in the faith grow up and to be discipling other men who are growing up in the faith. These men are good husbands. They're good fathers. One of them's a pastor. He's about 25, 35 years younger than me. And he sought me out, because I'm an old pastor, and speaking to his life. How can I be a good shepherd and a good husband? How can I be a good shepherd and be a good dad? How can I be a good shepherd and look towards the needs of my church family that God is looking to me to help grow up in the faith? Are you determined as a son or daughter of our Heavenly Father? Are you determined to be that son or daughter of Abba, that you will receive his attaboy, attagirl? Remember that principle. Determination. Second principle is rejection. Say that with me. Rejection. Rejection is to be expected when you share the truth. We have seen that all through Paul's travels. But he was determined nonetheless. Don't be surprised when people reject the truth. I know it doesn't make sense. Why reject the truth? But people regularly reject the truth. They'll tell lies about you and then call you a liar. Unfortunately, truth rarely attracts large numbers of people. Proclaiming truth draws a remnant of people who would give their lives for the Lord while drawing enemies like a pack of wild dogs coming their way. Looking at your notes, that's why godly leaders require courage, tenacity, resiliency, and most of all, leaders, humility. Humility. Now in this very moment, I'm talking to the elders. In this very moment, I'm talking to the leaders of our 6 core value teams. In this particular moment, I am talking to those that teach the Word of God in our church family. We need courage, tenacity, resilience, and humility. A proclaimer of Father God's truth isn't a politician and can't worry about image or applause, polls, or popularity. Rather, the proclaimer must be content to present the truth, recognizing that personal rejection is most likely going to be an outcome. It used to be I only enjoyed sharing the gospel and seeing somebody react in a very favorable way to the Lord. Better yet, that they wanted to pray and receive the Lord into their lives. But quite frankly, family, I look forward to just simply sharing the gospel, and it matters not if they say no to me, because I'm not saving them. I'm a mailman. I'm a mailman. And presently, because someone shared the mail with me, I get to go to heaven, as rotten as I have been. And to be able to share the gospel and have them turn it down, as I shared last week, it's not okay, but you know, in my spirit, it's okay. I'm not going to save them anyway. That's God the Holy Spirit's thing. He's the only one who can really do that. But maybe Kelly's going to come along and water that person that I planted the seed with. And then maybe Vicky's going to come along and she's going to start watering that seed that Kelly watered, that I planted the seed, and that person's going to say, how do I get to know this Jesus you three have been talking about? What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing. Going back here to reread, the proclaimer of Father God's truth isn't a politician and can't worry about image or applause. You know, some pastors, we are so into image, you know. Look at me. Aren't I something to behold? Jeans. I got some pretty wild shirts. I won't wear some of those. Maybe at the baptism, I'll baptize your kids in one of those. But, pardon?
In that cold water?
Honey, that water is warm. I tested it on Friday. I tested it. I only kept it cold because you were so hot. Talk to me out of line. I'll come back at you. We can't worry about image or applause or polls or popularity. Rather, the proclaimer must be content to present the truth, recognizing that personal rejection is the most likely outcome. And I can handle that. I'm still going to want to be determined to see that they come to faith. But there's only so many things I can do. The fact is this, look at your notes. If Paul could reject, if Paul got rejected while sharing truth, you can be certain it won't be any different for you. It hasn't been any different for me. I remember the first person who rejected the gospel with me. She was my Aunt Vivian. And she was really in bad health. I mean, she smoked and she coughed like she was going to bring up a lung. And so I sat down with her with my little four spiritual laws. And I shared the gospel with her. And she listened and listened and smiled and listened. And I, would you like to pray and invite him into your life? No, Ron. No. I'm glad this is something you have found. for yourself, but it's not for me. And I was dumbfounded. I didn't think anybody could say no. But they do. And I have to say, but don't let this discourage you. More people have said no to the gospel in my presence than have said yes.
Yeah, it's true.
So, when you accept this fact of ministry, personal rejection loses its sting. It does. It loses its sting. They're not saying no to me. They're saying no to a warm, loving Heavenly Father who sent the best He could send on our behalf, His Son, to be that substitutionary sacrifice on the cross for us. That's Christmas, family. Not that thing that we will celebrate in a couple of months. Christmas is saying yes to the gospel and receiving the gift that comes with saying yes to the gospel. Let's not forget the first two principles, determination, rejection, and third is appreciation. Say appreciation without love.
Appreciation.
Absolutely. Appreciation is seldom expressed at the right time. At the right time. You will never find Paul cornered by a group of people from Thessalonica or Philippi or Berea saying, "Hey, Paul, very cool what you had to say today in the synagogue. Really, very, very cool. I like that stuff. Right back at you. And thanks so much for letting those guys over there, you know, the magistrates, bring in the cops to beat you with rods. That was cool to watch that. Thanks for upholding the gospel. Thanks for standing firm when somebody else was walking away." You know, in the modern day, when was the last time you went up to your elders and said, "You know, you guys are really sweet in the Lord. Thank you so much for giving of your time." Or going to their wives and saying, "Thank you for letting your husbands give up their time to serve us, to be a blessing to us, to take on hard things for us." When was the last time you went to one of our people in the playroom, the nursery, and thanked them for changing your kids' diapers? And you knew it was going to be a real stinky one this time. Or thank those that absent themselves from the worship center for a while. They go over there and they take your three-year-olds and they put together a class for three-year-olds about our Lord. When was the last time you thanked them? Nursery workers, teachers, thank you. Thank you so very much. I very much appreciate what you do on a weekly basis for our little lambs. Elders, if no one's come to you recently, let me, your elder, say thank you. Because I know how you suffer when certain things are not taking place in our church family and how it is disturbing to you. But you continue in your role, and you continue in your prayers, and you continue to love these people. I thank all of you who are involved in ministry to our church family. If no one else has sent their appreciation, given their appreciation. Every ministry, this new one that's been going just for a few months now, going to the convalescent hospital and sharing joy, that's a dog, and sharing the word of God and moving these people out of their rooms to come and sing songs to the Lord and hear the word of God. All the ministries, thank you so much. So very, very much. True statement, look at your notes. If you're waiting for that appreciation, then forget about becoming a good leader. You'll fold. No one said thank you. No one's done anything. Hey. I know exactly what you're talking about. And yes, you're ministering in the lives of these people, but who are you working for? I'm really hoping that Jesus is going to say, and I have no reason to be certain, I really hope he's going to say, Ron, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. But I want you to fold. Your reward will rarely come in the form of appreciation. Instead, you will feel a closer connection with your master, with Jesus, our Lord, who suffered and knows all about your suffering. You will also experience life more fully, abundantly, because you'll be living your purpose. You'll be living your purpose. You see, your purpose is not about you. But American Christians, they get lost. They think, life is about me. No, no. Not if you're a Christian. It's all about him. All about him. To be a good shepherd, that's all about him. To be a good husband to Kathy, that's all about him. To be a good dad to my kids, whatever their ages, even adults, my grandkids, it's all about him. I got to stop being me. Going after me, being selfish. I need to be doing what he points out here and what we've seen in our message notes as we have studied chapter 16 and the first half of chapter 17. You will also experience life more fully because you'll be living your purpose. And when you persevere and stand before your loving, loving Abba Father, the reward for your faithfulness will be, as Tony the Tiger said, great. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Ah, Abba Father, thank you so very much for pointing out the obvious things in your word. Obvious. And thank you for extracting principles for us so that we can apply your word directly from the word or from principles for your glory, for your honor, and for being vessels of honor that just make you proud of your daughters and your sons, and as vessels of honor that people see, wow, these people are really wonderfully strange, and I want to know more about them. And then we get to tell them all about you and your son and how the Holy Spirit ministers 24/7 in our lives. You're just a wonderful, wonderful, perfect, loving Father. you've made it very clear that no one's beyond the reach of you, a loving, warm Heavenly Father. No one's beyond your reach. They can run away from you. Even some of us tried. Some will be successful, unfortunately. But I'm so glad, Father, you caused me to get tired and wear out. And you saved my soul. And so many here who are now part of your family that I get to be a part of too. Father, I want so much to take what you've taught here. I want to be a godly son who is determined, one who does not throw in the towel when rejected. I don't want to be someone, Father, who is seeking from men and women to appreciate me. But I want very much for you to say I'm doing a good job, or to show me how I can do a better job. Help me to be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Help me to do all things through Him that you want accomplished, because He can help me to do all these things. And my Lord, I want to bring my church family in, and I want you to know that we thank you that you have said you will never leave us. You will never forsake us there in Hebrews 13. And we thank you for that. There are things we might say, things we might do, things we may have done in the past, but you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. And as you told those gathered together in Matthew 28:20, Lord, you said you are with us always, even through eternity. So we thank you. We thank you for these things because you are awesome and the most outstanding gift that any of us have ever, ever received. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.